Well, thank you for attending. Truly, also, although the time slot is just 15 minutes, I want to deliver a kind of an overview talk on soil aeration. So it will not be a story with a beginning and an end, but just bits and pieces. The whole story is in a review article, hopefully going to be published soon in the Vetuzon Journal. So this presentation is prepared by myself, but the review article is by my PhD student Ilan Benoach and by myself. So as I said, I'll just give bits and pieces, a few slides on the plant response to soil oxygen concentration, few slides on soil respiration rates, root respiration rates, and then I'll talk briefly on aeration mechanisms. So here you offer an example on the left. Potassium content in plants, in several plants, its response to soil oxygen concentrations of different plants you see. On the right, you see the concentration of phosphorus also in relation to the oxygen concentration. It's relative to atmospheric concentration. On the right, for the phosphorus, you see also the concentration in different plant organs, and you see increasing trends. Nutrient uptake, it's active, it needs energy, respiration provides energy to the roots, therefore in deficiency, in oxygen deficiency, there are problems with nutrient uptake. Here another example of root elongation of three species of oak trees, and you also see the all increase, the elongation rate increases with oxygen concentration in the soil. At the level of 21%, this is the oxygen concentration in the atmosphere, you see the more or less level saturate. The agricultural bottom line, the yield, also responds naturally to oxygen concentration. Here on the axis, it's not oxygen concentration, but oxygen diffusion rate measured to a 6 millimeter long platinum electrode, which mimics quite realistically, I think, root respiration. I like this soil aeration quantifiers. So you see that for most of the plants on this figure, until the value goes down to, until it goes down to 20 micrograms per square meter of root per second, there's no yield reduction. But for the potato, you see that it goes down already at 60, at a threefold larger value, which means that potato plants are more sensible to oxygen deficiency compared to the other plants here. Here is data we gathered from the literature on soil respiration rates. On the left panel, sorted according to the land cover. In the brackets, you see the means. So what you can see, you see significant increase with temperature. You see that pasture, field crops, and forests, the soil respiration is much higher than in the wetlands and in the fallow. The forest, we still subdivided to evergreen and deciduous forest. You see, I don't have time to discuss these things, of course, but deciduous forest, the soil respiration rates are much higher. One thing I want to point here, that also there is a significant increase with Q10. Q10 is the increase in respiration rate upon 10 degree increase. Although it's significant, you see that the correlations are very low. So just to say it in one sentence, there must be other factors controlling root respiration. Now, just to go on with a figure, a magnitude of representative soil respiration rate of intensive agricultural fields, which is my main interest, think of 10 gram per square meter per day. This is, of course, the highest rate of uptake to the plant compared to other nutrients or whatever. Okay, now how it changes temporarily. So on left you see the diurnal pattern. The amplitude is not very large, but there's a maximum in the early afternoon, probably where the soil temperature is at its maximum. You also see in the broken line, in the dashed line, that in crop soil, the respiration rate are usually higher than in acropped soil. On the right panel, you see the annual pattern, which are much more amplitude, a much bigger differences between respiration in summertime, in summer months, compared to the cooler winters. So far I presented data on all soil respiration, which is composed of the respiration of the plants. You know, plants are aerobic creatures, and of the aerobic microbial populations. It's very difficult to separate these two in situ in the field, but more or less, in those who tried, it's about of the same magnitude, about half and half, the background respiration, the microbial, and the root. So now I'm talking about just the root respiration. You see here its response to oxygen concentration. It increases with oxygen concentration, and it saturates, it levels. And interesting to see is that as the temperature increases, it reaches higher values, and also it saturates at higher values. For example, this is a root respiration of excised onion roots, and at a temperature of 30 degrees Celsius, which is not uncommon in places like in Israel in the soil, you see that at an oxygen concentration of 50%, you can never find it in Mother Nature. It cannot exceed the atmospheric of 21. It still exceeds. Now, plant physiologists claim that this excess luxurious respiration is not necessarily beneficial for the plants. They just cannot adopt and avoid it. Now, here we sorted the data according to the different segments of the roots, and you see that most of the respiration, as well as the water uptake and plant nutrient uptake, it takes place very close to the root tips and a very few millimeters close to the tips of the roots. Now, a figure to remember of the respiration rate in those active root parts is about 20 milligrams of oxygen per 1 meter length of root per day. Okay, now I didn't know that in the digital library of the society have this on the exhibits, so I illegally copied and pasted this figure here. But if you want to now evaluate the storage of how much oxygen we have in the soil, how much oxygen 1 meter square of soil has. So let's, for example, take a porosity of 60%, an air saturation degree of 25. So half a meter of this soil contains approximately 20 grams of oxygen. And we just say that the respiration rate is in between 10 to 15 grams oxygen per square meter per day, which means that the oxygen storage in the soil is sufficient for 1, 2, maximum 3 days. So it's not like mammals, not like us, that underwater we cannot survive more than 5 or 10 minutes. Plants can survive at least 1, maybe 2, 3 days without any oxygen supply from the atmosphere. But after these 2, 3 days, some bad things will start to happen. Now, some plants can handle things without the without soil oxygen. They have this parenchyma tissue, this holes here, which conducts like snorkels oxygen from the atmosphere to the plant roots. But not all kinds of plants have these tissues. And also there's a cost in these tissues, morphological and in terms of production and so, in terms of the rigidity of the stem. And so it's not a perfect solution. Otherwise, all of the plants would have evolutionized to this direction. So most of oxygen has to come from the atmosphere. And this stem, I will not elaborate. We try to summarize the soil respiration processes. So respiration, as you know, is consumption of oxygen, release of carbon dioxide by the microbes and by the plant roots. Here, this red line describes the debatable inhibition of root respiration by elevated carbon dioxide concentrations in the soil. Now, the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide with the atmosphere is mostly by diffusion, from 21% oxygen in the atmosphere down to a lower concentration in the soil, and counterwise for the carbon dioxide, from some given concentration of carbon dioxide in the soil to practically zero in the atmosphere. The minor mechanisms are advective mechanisms. For example, a change of barometric pressure. When the barometric pressure is high, it compressed fresh enriched in oxygen 21% air into the soil, and when the barometric pressure is low, it sucks exhausted the soil atmosphere enriched in carbon dioxide. And you see the all soil parameters who control it. Due to the low solubility of oxygen in water, the only reservoir, the major one, is just the gaseous phase and also the conducting phase. But carbon dioxide is much more soluble in water, so it also being maintained and it moves with the water. Now, when we talk about diffusion of oxygen and carbon dioxide, there are three relevant scales. One is the vertical diffusion along tens of centimeters, sometimes up to meters in the soil, down the soil profile. The other one is the radial diffusion towards a single root. And if the soil has some aggregated structure, so also the relevant processes of diffusion within a single aggregate. So I'll just give you a few examples of evaluation of these diffusions. So if, for example, you see measurements we made with Apogee sensors of the soil oxygen concentrations in the soil profile. This is an experiment I ran of irrigation with recycled water of red grapefruit in the north of Israel. So you see here three treatments irrigated with either one, two, or three drip lines per row of trees, which means that the water contents, the same for all treatments, were higher when it was just a single drip line. And when you distribute it with, to more emitters, the water contents in the soil are lower. I have data, but I'm not presenting. So if I'm just fitting the solution of steady diffusion with zero order consumption rate of oxygen, this lambda zero, we get, we feed this distribution of oxygen concentration, we get three different diffusion, effective oxygen diffusion in the soil, which are minimal for the wetter soil of the one drip line treatment and are maximal as expected for the drier soil. For the dry soil, because the diffusion is just in the gaseous phase, not in the water. Now here's another example. I'm comparing here measurements of oxygen profiles measured in plots in plots of bell pepper plant and tomatoes in either a sandy soil, both of them, or in a more fine texture soil. So if we assume that the consumption rate of the tomato soil is the same irrespective of the kind of the soil, and similarly for the pepper. And if we assume, which makes more sense, that the diffusion coefficient of the same soil in the tomato plots and in the pepper are the same, so we have just four parameters to fit to those, which results in a bit higher oxygen consumption rate of the tomato soil. You see, 5.2 compared to 3.6, which makes sense. The tomato plants are a little bit higher. And also the diffusion coefficient in the sandy soil, you see it's much higher than that of the more fine texture soil. This diffusion coefficient of 0.147 is approximately one-tenth of oxygen diffusion in free air. Now a short evaluation of the radial diffusion. So if we refer to radial diffusion from a cylinder of soil, I have a problem with this mouse. From a cylinder of soil layer to a single root surrounded by a mucilag layer. You see here below just the flux of a steady state diffusion in these two layers in series, assuming constant zero order oxygen consumption in both layers, in the soil and in the mucilag layers. So if I plug in reasonable numbers, I don't have time to go over, it comes that both the term representing the oxygen consumption in the soil and the oxygen consumption in the mucilag layers are negligible compared to the C2, to the concentration of oxygen in the soil atmosphere. Now, if you, in the denominator, you have the two resistance, so the resistance in the mucilag layer It's much larger compared to the resistance in the soil. You know the diffusion rate in water is 10,000 times larger than diffusion rate in gas. Also, there's an Henry constant of 30 mole per liter of air per mole per liter of water. So it comes that the oxygen supply to the roots is proportional to the oxygen concentration in the soil, which is why I like this as a quantifier of soil aeration. And it is reciprocal to the resistance in the mutileg, to the thickness of the mutileg, and to its and its linear with its diffusivity. So how much time do I have, Eugene? No time. Okay. So hopefully it will be published soon, all the story. Hopefully you will enjoy it. Thank you. Yeah, but it will take me another 10 minutes. Forget about it. Usually I do not prepare conclusion slides because I never reach the conclusion. But this time I did prepare one.